Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. We're here and so are you. Oh, can you feel it? My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
I'm feeling the energy.
And all PT right. Donaldson.
Happy Wednesday, guys.
Whenever.
Yeah. Mm. If you're listening on a Wednesday, happy Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. You could be listening like thousands of years in the future. Yeah.
Hello, future Pete.
If someone found like an old iPod that's been left in a time capsule.
Do you know what the Germans call Wednesday?
This has gone awry far sooner than I anticipated.
Mittwoch, which means midweek.
Makes sense.
Don't actually have a proper word for
German
Wednesday.
German efficiency. Don't need one.
Yeah. What's the midweek?
Concise.
Yeah. It's true. It's true because the week starts on Sunday. It doesn't start on Monday. No, the working week.
Who are you arguing with there?
Myself. Oh, we're still here. Hi, everybody. Have I done the intro?
Hello from 2015.
Where the week used to start on a Sunday. Yeah. It is the preview show. That means we're dipping into the future, just like Marty McFly. Everton versus Spurs. This has got goals written everywhere.
Absolutely, yeah. Which is almost why it will certainly be 0-0.
Yeah, I was well looking forward to Liverpool-Leicester. Yeah. Pete, can you officially designate Everton v Spurs the first thigh rubber of the week?
I think so. Yeah. Yes, I think that's fair, dude. Great. Yeah, that's going to be a good match.
Right, let's get stuck in then.
Yeah.
Because, as you said, Luke, Everton can't defend.
They can't.
They hate it.
But also,
it's almost like they actively dislike doing it, so just don't really bother.
Not only that, Spurs have got an absolutely superb record against Spurb. Everton. They haven't lost to Everton, I think, since 2012, and they drew 0-0 earlier this season in a
very
forgettable game.
Very Premier League fixture, this, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I picture
right.
Like Paul Ryder going up against Gary Mabbott in the short fixture. Holston and NEC on the shirts.
Spurs would have watched Everton defend fairly recently, especially against Stoke, and thought, fancy a bit of this.
Yeah.
This will do us lovely.
This will be fun.
Yeah, we'll get some pie and mash. They eat pie and mash up in North London?
Yeah, I would imagine
a bit of pie and mash.
Yeah,
get us up to Goodison. Mm. And then after we've had pie and mash, we're going to feast on some toffees.
Wow.
For dessert.
Liking that.
Wow.
Liking your work. Liking your work, brother. Spurs at certain points of the season have been fifth. But they've been higher than that, Jim. They've been all the way up into third as well. Is this the year that they're going to win the league? Because it's going to happen.
Imagine if it's Arsenal and Spurs duking it out last weekend of the season.
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Spurs,
get
though.
Some poison jelly deals. All goes awry on the last day.
Another food poisoning scandal. Spurs, though, I mean, Everton, like you say, they're shipping goals, whereas Spurs actually look pretty good at the back.
Yeah, they
but Everton score a lot of goals.
Yeah, well, see, this is it. It's a big ask for Alderweireld and Vertonghen at the centre there. But they are very, very, very good players. But I mean, Lukaku, Barkley and De La Feo, they must almost be getting frustrated now. Quite how good they have to be just to plug the leaks in that defence. Conceding four goals at home when you've scored three. Like that to Stoke, obviously I'm referring to. That must be so frustrating for those forward players.
Well, I like the way that Spurs, against Watford, they gave Watford respect with the four players that are in form. And to an extent, it didn't work because Ighalo obviously scored, but they won the game. And the way they did it, they changed it around slightly and they played, I think I'm right in saying, they played Eric Dier in a back three with Alderweireld and Vertonghen. And it seemed to work better for them. I love that flexibility that Pochettino's got tactically.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not going to make predictions anymore for the rest of the season after last week, which was not a vintage week.
I was enjoying that one.
I think I'm capable to turn up, but I'm going to listen to it back and mock you, Luke.
Just saying,
that's what
Luke.
You were doing. So I'm not making any more predictions. Well, you're not going to get any this week, Pete.
Right, okay.
So it's happening.
A fool's errand.
But if I, it was
great because you were basically
questioning. That's my whole career, by the way.
What I liked about it, you were questioning the betting markets more than that. You were going, oh, I can't believe they've gone so long on this one.
And it was the little details I like Ben Watson having an absolute blinder.
Literally, companies who are backing themselves with millions and millions of pounds, and you're going, no. Wait, completely disagree.
Get the edge. If I was a predicting man, right, which I used to be, but yeah, I'm not anymore. I would suggest that they might play that three against Everton as well because of Lukaku, Barkley, Delafour, those sort of guys.
Are you killing off Nostradamus?
No.
No,
Nostradamus
is a
very good make predictions if you without.
He's a main show entity.
Yeah, right. I can't kill off Nostradamus. He's more likely to kill off me, I think.
Yeah, I suppose you just channel him. It's not really anything.
I only channel him
it?
In very specific prediction things that I then only talk about when they come true.
If he predicts your killing, then you've got to be wary.
I've got an eye on that. Don't worry.
Don't say it.
I'm fully insured,
and you'll be fine. Everton are at home. Last time they were at home in the league, they conceded 4 to Stoke.
Yeah, they're
of course.
Actually weirdly not. They're not so great at home, Everton. I mean, obviously they're not terrible, but I was looking at the run of games they've had this season, thinking, you know, maybe Goodison Park's become a bit of a fortress for them. It just absolutely hasn't.
No, they've not won at home since the 21st of November.
That's true for a lot of teams, to be fair. Look how
they haven't won at home since the 21st of November.
No, not that.
two interesting markets for Bet365 on this game are the both teams to score, which is 8-13. Okay. And I also like a market they've got here, a goal after the 75th minute. So a goal officially being scored after 74 minutes, 59 seconds is 5-6. And given there's been a lot of late goals involving Everton fairly recently.
And Spurs,
it looks like a nice little angle, that. Yeah. But I don't make predictions.
I'll have a piece of that then.
Yeah, good.
I'm saying that.
And I'm going to laugh at you next week.
I'm saying that. That's my first prediction. 75, after the 75th minute, there'll be goals scored.
75th.
Right, 75th minute, there'll be goals scored.
How many goals?
No, I'm just saying goals. That was not the market we were given. No.
All right.
5 after the 75th minute.
I've been drinking kerosene.
Not since this morning.
Not since it was on the Christmas pudding.
I know we're not talking about the Stoke, but I did like this tweet from Peter the Crouch, who said after the Stoke win away to Everton, "Incredible performance, boys. No wonder I can't get a run out. Thumbs up, but a crying face."
Peter Crouch is excellent value.
He is.
I was playing a Christmas game of Pointless with my family, and the end question was
Aston Villa.
It was me against my sister's boyfriend, and he's a Ramble listener. Mm. And it was a football question.
Oh, no.
It was name one of the top 20 all-time leading Premier League goalscorers up to the end of 2013. And I went for Peter Crouch, and he wasn't in there. He was number 23.
Oh.
He went for Dion Dublin, didn't he? Won it.
Yep.
Won it.
I'm surprised you went for Crouch.
I love Crouch.
Because the whole point of Pointless is to get as obscure an answer as possible.
Yeah. I'm still surprised because he's obviously not in the top 20.
Well, imagine how surprised I was when it was wrong.
Surely you're used to that by now.
I've got to wait till... Yeah, not with him. I've got to wait till next Christmas to rectify that.
Yeah. I got a disciplinary in one of our Christmas quizzes because we go around...
Did you give yourself a point?
No, you'll be with me here, Jim.
Absolute
because
point monster.
We all had our individual subjects, and mine was World Cup trivia, and it was... The question was worded awfully.
My God.
Here we go.
A bad quizzer blames the question.
Let him tell us the question because I want to hear it first.
Which African nation first qualified for a World Cup finals?
Right? Yeah.
There's the question.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, oh, was it maybe Algeria in 74 or who was it? No. Nothing to do with that because then I was given a clue. It was in 2006. And I said, hang on. That's not right. The question is, which African nation first qualified for the World Cup finals in 2006? Ah, okay. Angola.
Yeah.
No, it's Ghana. Well, I could have had Ghana, Angola, or Ivory Coast. Yeah. No, the answer was Ghana.
Angola didn't qualify in 2006.
Yeah, they did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Marcus?
Yes.
You're hysterical, man.
I'm not sorting myself out, Jim.
Hang on, would they have qualified earlier in their qualification campaign in 2006?
It was a poor question. It should have been, you've got the choice of three, or which three African nations? I'd have named all three if you want.
Right, okay.
Don't say, which of the three African nations am I thinking of that qualified for the 2006 World Cup?
No, first, though. He says first, isn't it? They qualified first in the 2006 World Cup.
No, I wish you hadn't brought it up, to be honest.
No. Which African side first qualified, which was their first appearance in a World Cup final.
I think I'm going to go to the shops.
Right.
Do you see what I mean?
Anyway, Peter Crouch, 23rd top scorer.
And go. Do you see what I mean, though, Jim? Yeah.
So basically, not only can you and I not even predict things right, we can't even get things that have happened right. We've got no hope.
I was correct.
Yeah, fine. You had the last laugh.
Well, yeah, you know.
Christmas problems with the Marcus fella.
Did anyone poison your mind with their 4-0 long chat? Is that what it was? You poisoned my mind with your Angola chat.
Stephen Hawking's football boots don't get a point. All right? So, yeah, where were we? We were talking about...
How Everton and Spurs. It's probably going to be a quite high-scoring game.
Everton and Spurs qualified for the 2006 World Cup, along with Angola, Jim. Peter Crouch also scored at that tournament.
Yeah, he did. Trinidad and Tobago, but memory serves me correctly.
There you are, you see, so we're all right.
Can't believe I forgot that Angola qualified for the 2006 World Cup.
There you are, you see.
You
they played Portugal, remember?
Football.
They were in Iran's group, weren't they?
They were in Iran's group, you see.
Iran qualified for
the... Right, are we done with Everton Spurs?
Yeah, I think we've summed that up quite nicely.
We're very nice.
Done with African countries qualifying for the World Cup.
Palace versus Chelsea, Jim. Let's have a London derby to talk about.
So this is quite a big one, isn't it?
It's a huge one.
Because Pardew's Palace are obviously strong at home. Yeah. And, you know, Chelsea
are strong away?
Well, no, they're just a quivering, wibbling mess, aren't
they? Cadaver.
So at some point, surely, under Hiddink, they're going to come good.
But they got a good point away at Old Trafford.
They did, yeah, but, you know...
Kept a clean sheet.
It's still merely a point.
I love Hiddink's lovely gold glasses. Mm. They're very gold. It's very 90s thing to make your glasses out of.
Also
really
quite
bright gold.
Quite steampunky in his own strange way.
I like Hiddink. He seems like a lot of fun.
I bet he's got a vintage typewriter somewhere.
He doesn't make any nonsense, does he? Yeah.
He's the most avuncular manager in the Premier League.
He seems like almost the yin to Louis van Gaal's yang.
I think so, yeah. Physically quite similar.
Yeah.
But it's very like different if one of
those
styles.
If one of those managers was killed, and I'm not endorsing that, the world would seem like unbalanced in a way.
I think
there's a lot of symmetry when they met in the Man United Chelsea game recently.
Get them to recreate a yin and yang 69 position kind of logo.
Yeah,
on a bed.
Yeah,
I think Hiddink and Steve Bruce would make a very good fancy dressed Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Mm. Hiddink and Steve Bruce. Yeah, okay, I can see that. Yeah.
I read a lovely story once that around a kind of a Dutch old boys. That's not a euphemism.
It's like Spanish
seen,
fly.
We've all seen the photo.
Tom of Finland cartoon.
There was all kind of previous greats in Dutch football, and they were talking about some of the best forwards in the kind of the 90s and that kind of more latterly, so kind of post Cruyff and all that, and all these guys like Van Gaal and Hiddink and so on and so forth were sat around the table and they were discussing who the best forwards were, and I think
Garth Crooks walk in.
Yeah, and had the final say.
And you mean Wayne Rooney, don't you?
Yeah.
I finished my champagne and went home.
You, Van Gaal, being officious. And the final, when they were getting down to it, they were saying he looked like Dennis Bergkamp was coming out on top of the chat, and apparently Van Gaal and Hiddink both had the sort of the sign off, and they both sort of nodded, and that was it. It was done.
Okay, right.
But, yeah, don't know. I can't remember where I read that, but I love the scene.
I've heard that they have
amazing that they weren't all arguing.
I've
to
heard
be quite
they
honest.
Have like a semi regular elders of Dutch football sort of dinner, don't
they? Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Imagine it.
And I think Van Gaal is known as to being the sort of the big swinging one.
I don't know. Hiddink.
I think.
Hiddink would be.
I'm possible. Listen, Marcus, you'll be no doubt surprised now. I've never been invited. But
it's one for us turns out lots of bifters. Come on, lads. Come on, guys. It's legal.
And the porn DVDs.
Are you allowed to smoke weed if you're a professional footballer who plays in?
We haven't got time for this.
I'm sure the clubs have their rules.
Yeah. But it's the league, isn't it? And if it's legal.
Oh, I see what you mean. I think it's performance enhancing.
If you're wondering why I haven't been invited, I have changed address fairly recently. So
yeah,
be that,
mate. And it will just be that. But imagine being around that table, Jim.
Yeah. I've
imagined it and it seems fun.
I thought you might have something to add. You know,
no, it's
the De Boers there. Bergkamp will be there.
Do you
now?
Think Overmars would be
hang
there?
On a minute.
Was he great enough?
Not
that
everyone
made me very happy.
Not everyone gets invited, Marcus. You don't know that the De Boers are going to be there. You don't know that. Certain managers are going to be there. It's not everyone. It's not everyone who's ever been involved in Dutch football ever. Mm. You know.
It's not like an Adidas get-together or something. It's not like organised by a PR firm. It's just friends.
I've fallen out of favour.
Marco Bugas isn't going to be there. Do you know what I mean?
In his caravan.
Is that every single Dutch player?
Well, I'm just...
He might be in the garden, as Jim says, in his caravan.
Would Brian Penis be there?
after dinner entertainment.
After speaking. Here we are. Right. So
can we still promise Chelsea
yeah,
anyway.
Do we think Palace are going to win?
Loads of
Pards would not be there.
Pards would be there.
He
get him
down.
In the tactics chat.
Down. No, I can't. It's the poker night of the lads down Crystal.
He's calling himself Alan Depardieu for the night.
Do you fancy a bet 3-6-5 market on this?
Yes, we do. Yes.
Crystal Palace to win 2-0, 5-1.
Okay.
Put it out there.
That's a good bet, that.
A Palace 1-0.
Yes, I think that's what will happen.
No, well, so, like, in which case, let me get this right. Lump your money on 6-5 Chelsea, then. because we could not be any more wrong.
Well, Chelsea were very strong against Manchester United, but they could not get the ball anywhere near the back of the net. So I reckon that Palace are going to win 1-0.
But then will Costa be back for that one?
He's suspended for one game.
Suspended for most
possibly.
Yeah. He was very, very angry still, wasn't he, when he scored? Still giving it some lip to the fans.
That's what he does, Jim.
It's absolutely what he does.
You could learn a lot from that.
Do you want me to confirm to you whether he's back or not?
Jim never gives lip, does he?
What do you mean I never give lip?
All right, you're doing it now.
Diego Costa will be available for selection.
Okay, great. Yeah. Oh, yes, guys.
All right, I'll go 2-1 Palace then. Okay. Diego Costa's own goal.
Mm. I'm not sure if you guys got the memo before we're not supposed to be doing predictions anymore.
Oh, right.
Okay, sorry.
I thought it was just you.
Jim has taken all that on board and has kept quiet.
Yep.
You two appear to be making double the predictions you were making last year.
We're going for broke.
Doubling down.
We're going hell for leather. Yeah. There we are. Okay, well, Palace and Chelsea. Yeah, so we've predicted everything there. We don't know what more you want. We can't advise you more. We're going to go for a little break and then we'll be back talking about Manchester United.
Hi, I'm Frank Lebeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, we're still here. It's the preview show. The Football Ramble preview show, no less. Sponsored by 365. Manchester United versus the Swans.
This is an interesting one. It's not a thigh rubber.
No.
But both these teams are struggling badly, right?
Is it even a chin stroker?
It's a six-pointer.
It could well be a six-pointer.
Why do you think
Pete?
It's a six-pointer?
Are Man United going to get dragged into the relegation scrap of things that bad?
Sorry,
no, winning eight.
I think at this stage of the season, Jim, you are legally obliged to call it the relegation mire.
Okay.
Yeah. It only becomes a scrap sort of towards the back end of the
Manchester
season.
Manchester United have got 30 points. You'd imagine that they've only played 19 games.
Yeah, but they haven't won a game in eight. So if they just have 30 for the rest of the season, they're not going to stay
up. They'll points, get some draws. Marcus, they need points.
They will get at least 10 draws from now until the end of the season. Yeah, so we don't think Manchester United will get relegated, do we?
I think they need to win this game.
Where's that come from?
They need to win this game.
You've gone predicting crazy.
Yeah. You have.
I'm just pointing out the ridiculousness of you talking about them being in the relegation mire. Whereas Swansea definitely are.
You're giving it some now, are you?
I am, yeah. They're in 17th. They are on 19 points. They are two above Newcastle United.
They've won one in their last nine, and that was against West Brom.
To be honest, I don't need to say, oh, they're 19th and they're this, that, the other. All I need to say is they're 2 points above Newcastle United.
We're very
you're
much the foundations.
Yeah.
The foundations of the league are Aston Villa, Sunderland and Newcastle, pretty much.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The thing I like about Newcastle...
Almost sounds like a compliment, doesn't it?
We will go back to Man United Swansea in a minute, but the thing I like about Newcastle is...
here we go.
Obviously, they are terrible. But like they're not content with being terrible. They have to chuck in two really good wins against Liverpool and Spurs, and then go back to being terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Just going like, here's what you could have won.
Yeah. I stood on the terrace. I stood watching.
Stood on your seat. Screaming with your shirt off.
Shouting, why must you be like this all the time?
Before,
I hate you.
Before punching a horse.
Every time.
Punching a yoghurt.
And I said, my
punching a horse in a lay-by.
Punching a yoghurt on a horse.
I said.
In a lay-by.
We haven't talked about yoghurt on this show. That was the previous show. All right, you can't bring yoghurt into this now. I said to my mate Al,
in a half-filled bath.
In what?
In a half-filled bath.
Why would I be down on a mine? In a mine.
Tepid bath.
Hartley Pudlian's our shipbuilder, not mine.
Screaming Jimmy Nail's Big River.
This is just racist.
Well, gazing longingly at an oil rig.
That's not even on land, you maniac.
You're looking at it.
How many oil rigs are off the coast of Newcastle?
I don't know. You're looking
you don't
at
know.
One.
Oh, don't know.
You're looking at one, mate.
Ships and mines, that's the region.
Yeah.
All right, not oil rigs.
And the ships go to the rigs, that's how you get there.
The oil rigs are in the North Sea, like miles away. Yeah. Right up near Aberdeen and that.
Good. There's your geography bit. Anyway. Right, can we go back to the...
Northern Rock Collapse
because they sponsored Newcastle, which is the association.
We're going back to Pete being a Newcastle game. What are you doing?
I was wearing an old Newcastle shirt when I was at home. My sister went, is that a new Newcastle shirt? I said, it's got Northern Rock on it, Helen. Read a bloody newspaper.
I should have mentioned something about Northern Rock then, shouldn't I? Trip down memory lane.
Jim brought in. No, I said to my mate that Dal Yama is a very cultured footballer, and he went on to have one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. Dal Yanmat.
Oh, okay.
The player, the right back.
And he's a funny one, Yanmat, because sometimes he's absolutely brilliant, and then he's not even concentrating.
He shouldn't have been on the field for the match against.
He's also
Evan.
Not going to be playing for either Man United or Swansea.
You brought Newcastle in. Yeah. Just to
we will come to Newcastle.
Out some diatribe.
Don't worry, guys. Newcastle are coming up after this one. Yeah, all right, so we can come back to this. Just put a pin in it for now.
Yeah, okay.
So very hard. Gently. Manchester United versus Swansea. The Swans got their first win in goodness knows how long over the Christmas period.
Against West Brom, yeah.
Yeah, and then they drew with Palace, which is a mean feat.
Results there.
Yeah, exactly. So they got a little bit of, I don't know if you call it momentum, but they're certainly 4 points better off than they were. And then they go to Manchester United. I mean,
is this the sort of game that United under Van Gaal just lose because they can't threaten the goal, they can't score goals. There's a lot of pressure on them. I think there's a lot of pressure on them. But particularly when they're playing teams they're supposed to beat in the way they're playing at the moment.
The Norwich game is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, because the expectation's already on
them.
They've
got to take the game. But they tried to take the game to Chelsea and, OK, they didn't score. They were very unlucky, though, but they were a lot better.
Booed off at half-time, though.
Oh, that happens,
doesn't it? That happens these days. That's modern football,
mate. So,
yeah. If you want to join that hashtag against modern football lot, you can. that's part of it.
What I'm saying is that that's going to affect the atmosphere on the pitch.
Of course it is, Jim. Of course it is. Peter, have we got some correspondence?
We've got a little bit, yeah. We've got a couple of emails. I mean, I did just look down at my sheet with my emails and I'd copy and pasted a text message into my radio show that I do on Absolute Radio occasionally.
Let's have that.
And it just says cottage cheese, Lorraine and Grey shop.
There you go.
I am
thanks,
so
Lorraine.
Parridge. I was doing the last Hammers. Cheese you ate. Right, Jake Haywood says, Merry Christmas, Ramblers. I thought I'd chip in with the press room story. Whilst working at Wycombe Wanderers versus Oxford United on Saturday, I entered the press room to find Timmy Mallett took it into pork stroganoff.
Wow.
Turns out he'd got lost in the stadium.
Wow.
And he just started eating the pork stroganoff.
From the outside world.
No, I think he was in the stadium, presumably.
Helping yourself to food you're not entitled to
is something you would be.
Yeah, trust me, I'm an expert on this. You can't just say, oh, sorry, I was lost.
I was lost and I found a pork stroganoff.
Yeah, I was worried I wasn't going to make it through the night.
I thought I would eat my way out.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
So, bang, bang, dink. What was that noise he made with the mallet?
That's right, yeah.
Bang, bang, dink.
He's actually 11-8 with Bet365 to turn up at the Man United Swansea game.
Some more pork stroganoff.
Better odds for Mourinho, presumably.
Hello also to Kieran O'Keefe as well. I'm a bit of a nervous flyer, so when I boarded my short flight to Dublin from Stansted on Tuesday, I rushed to my seat, locked myself in, and said a little prayer.
Lock yourself in.
Strap yourself in. Yeah, but the lock is definitely the mechanism that...
Was he flying the plane? That's the only place where you could lock yourself
in. Just as I finished, I looked up and saw the last passenger to board. It was Kenny Cunningham.
All right.
I immediately felt relaxed. To have such a reliable defender and sound character close to me on my Ryanair flight calmed me right down.
I mean, I'm struggling to think of transferable skills here.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like,
why is that making you feel relaxed?
Because he's a steady hand, isn't he?
Not on a plane situation.
Ken Cun, you don't know that.
Ken Cun. What footballer would you choose to have on board with you to make you feel safe and comfy?
I'd go for Ken Cun.
Yeah. Ken Cun. Ken Cunningham.
72 international caps, Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably go for someone like...
Where'd that come from?
I'd probably go for someone like Eric Dyer.
I'd go for Des Walker.
Reliable. Des Walker. Yeah, fair enough. Pace up and down the aisles as well if you need him for an emergency.
Maybe Michael Owen. Doesn't he fly a helicopter?
Michael Owen?
In that video once.
He was in the helicopter. I don't think he was flying.
I assume if you can fly a helicopter, you can also fly a plane.
Jim, the plane would go down, and goodness knows what happens to you, and Owen would be injured, wouldn't he?
Yeah. No, we'll tell you what happened.
I would die in a can underwater.
Yeah, and Michael Owen would comment on it really boringly.
Oh, it'd be worse.
Yeah, he'd make it worse.
Actually, but at least you'd be happy to die.
You're plunging down to the earth at 30,000 miles an hour.
You should have gone on a helicopter that had double engine.
This plane's really annoying. There's loads of films on it. I hate films.
What about Dennis Bergkamp? Because if you thought you were a bit nervous, it wouldn't be as bad as him.
Yeah. No, but the idea of someone as brilliant as Dennis Bergkamp just being really nervous.
I'd be like, God, if he doesn't trust me, how about this?
If you're sitting next to Dennis Bergkamp and he's on the plane nervous, he's going to want to hold your hand, isn't he? You'd be
maybe
loving that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Hold Dennis Bergkamp's hand. Look at his little face.
Yeah. How about this? I would love it if... If I could have the vegetarian meal, please.
If I was on a plane, suppose if it was like EasyJet or something, yeah. And I saw Keggy walk on, I'd be off. I'd be like, I don't care.
Thanks, but no,
I am throwing this holiday
why
in the
why
bin.
Why can't you be more like a train? Why can't you be more like British Airways?
Let's set this up a notch, right? This is a little story. Imagine that this is happening, right? You're late for your flight.
What if you're
it's
in the...
Like, let me finish. All right. It's like Home Alone. You're late for your flight. You're legging it there. You just about make it on there. You're the last person on the plane. They're hurrying you along.
Yeah.
They shut the door, slam shut behind you, go, Luke, or whatever your name is, we're already 45 minutes late, we've got to go now.
Yeah.
And just as you get on the plane, you go and take your final seat, you look over your left shoulder as you come on the plane, you look into the cockpit, it's just closing.
No.
And as it's closing, in a nice little pilot's hat with a grey curly perm underneath, is Kevin Keegan about to sit down. He sits into the pilot seat, sits on the armrest by accident, knocks a cup of coffee all over the control, and just goes, oh, damn.
And then
you put in your seat.
I would text
and co-pilot Terry McDermott just goes, oh, honestly, Kev.
Yeah.
Do you know what I would do? Like,
you did just text everybody.
No, what you do? No, he'd have like a clear plastic bag and all of his toiletries will have leaked in the
plastic bag. You know what I'd do? I'd call immediately for this to the attendant, get them over and say, I have seen a bomb on this plane. and his name is Kevin Keegan. It's an unexploded device at present.
And then presumably though, while they're in the plane lay-by, you know, someone would break into the cockpit and give him one.
Punch him in the face. Give him one.
Yeah, imagine like you land, so you get on the plane and Kevin Keegan flies you perfectly successfully to your destination on time, nice landing, and he comes out the cockpit to wish you good luck when you get off the plane, and as you walk off you notice he's got a big black eye that he didn't have really gone.
As every passenger gets off the plane, he's on there and he just bursts into flames. Yeah. Well, everyone smacks him. Everyone smacks him as they get off the plane.
With their bags.
With their,
no respect.
They're all carrying baseball bats.
And then you realise that when you go through baggage reclaim that they've lost his luggage, even though he's a pilot.
And it's an accidental smack as well. It's not a deliberate thing. They all just, sorry, Kev. Just accidental shoulder barges to the face.
And he steps off out of the plane door and that walkway isn't there. Yeah, and he just drops off.
I mean, I'm all for retiring old tropes, but I don't think we're ever going to get tired of Keegan, to be honest.
Keegan into this.
I brought Keegan into this because I was responsible enough to use him.
Yeah,
I don't trust you guys with him. I have kid gloves.
Keegan in a pilot's uniform is a beautiful thing. Anyway, should we move on to Arsenal?
We have to go to Newcastle. Yeah. It's our bet of the week.
Yeah, Arsenal-Newcastle. You want to talk about the game first?
I don't think we've got time.
Well, Newcastle can't defend, and Arsenal seem to be free scoring at the moment, apart from that match against Southampton.
Shellacking.
Giroud loves it against Newcastle, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a big fan of scoring against Yowls.
Mm.
So I think there's a chance for a big Olivier to get on the score sheet. That's not our bet, though, is it?
No, our best bet with Bet365 this week is Arsenal to be ahead within the first 10 minutes at 15-4. So it's a bit of a dig against Newcastle.
Charity dig.
Shocking.
Pete's got no comeback because he knows it's possible to happen.
And
of course, we're raising money for Prostate Cancer UK, of course. Some £50 charity bet of 15-4 returns £237.50, including stake. So fingers crossed we can raise a bit of money for them.
Yes.
I must mention as well that that's with Bet365, of course, and all odds are subject to change. And you must be over the age of 18 to bet. And please do gamble responsibly. For more information on responsible gambling, go to gamblerware.co.uk.
Marvellous. I think that's all we've got time for this week, gentlemen. Do get in touch with us. The email address is show@thefootballramble.com. We're on Twitter @FootballRamble. We're on Facebook, Instagram. And, of course, the website where the always excellent Kelly Wales operates is thefootballramble.com.
And there is still time to download our Christmas special from iTunes. Yes. £1.49. It's really good fun. And you've probably got a new iPod or iPhone for Christmas, so you might as well use it for that.
There's more Keegan on that as well.
Lots of Keegan on
Lots
there.
Lots of Keegan.
Yeah.
That's it. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
And it's... goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.